In the northern English city of Leeds, Catholic Church leaders have just concluded a four-day plenary meeting, looking at how to become more effective players on the national stage, striving to bring Christian values to the heart of a very secular society. At a four-day meeting held at the picturesque Hinsley Hall Pastoral Centre, discussions focused on encouraging lay and religious vocations within the Catholic community, on supporting the growing numbers of poor and vulnerable in Britain today, on advocating for peace and justice in the Holy Land, but also on the latest revelations of sexual abuse at Ealing Abbey in London, and, last but not least, on celebrations next year to mark Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee. To find out some details of these discussions, I spoke with the President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Vincent Nicholls of Westminster. Archbishop Vincent Nicholls, at your plenary meeting there in Leeds, you've been looking ahead, haven't you, and drawing up some pastoral priorities for the next few years. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we looked at them in two ways. First of all, we listened to every single bishop present as to how he understood his priorities in his own diocese. And then on the basis of that, we looked at what our priorities might be as a bishops' conference. So in a sense, we were working with a distinction between, on the one hand, being the bishops in conference, coming together to share what we do, and on the other hand, being the bishops' conference with a formal status in the structure of the Catholic Church. So the things that are, if you like, obligatory on us, which we do as a bishops' conference formally, are fairly clear. Some of them, we have a clear mandate from the Holy See, for example, to take a lead in the Middle East and the Holy Land. Some of them are to do with the liturgical issues, to do with the overseas aid and the work of CAFOD, to do with our links with other conferences, to do with our communications work, and of course all the representation work we do with central government. Now, looking at it from a diocesan perspective, we began to realize how important this moment is in trying to present the gospel afresh in our society, so the challenge of the new evangelization. And we particularly focused on the importance of the family, the importance of young people, of enhancing the sense of vocation within the Christian life, and of supporting and encouraging our priests. And then perhaps the overriding priority that was there was the need to respond to people who are experiencing poverty at this time. So to develop in each diocese a stronger network under the title of Caritas, and to look at ways of bringing that together nationally.
That Caritas social action network has been reorganised, hasn't it, recently? Can you tell us a little bit about ways in which it's planning to become a more effective participant in the whole programme of trying to support the poor and marginalised in society today?
Well, obviously that work goes on diocese by diocese. There are some very big charities in this country that work nationally, but an awful lot of that work is done in a very local kind of corner shop way, often in collaboration with other churches and often with the support of local authorities. So what we've asked Caritas Social Network to do is to go around diocese by diocese and hold kind of road shows that would explore with each diocese how it can find that pathway of bringing together some of those efforts so that they're stronger through cooperation with each other while not in any way impeding their local character and their local responsiveness. And that pattern will be different in each diocese. Already two or three of the dioceses are well ahead, but we want to try and use our resources to encourage every diocese to go through that process and then bring all of that together in an appropriate way into a Caritas for the Bishops' Conference as a whole.
You mentioned also the question of new evangelisation and the Year of Faith. You're looking ahead to that celebration that will be taking place here, the Synod in the Vatican next year. And you mentioned especially the family, but can you give us any other particular plans or ideas you have to put this new evangelisation into practice within the UK context?
Well, we had three headings to our discussion. One was a finalisation of our response to the lineamenta for the forthcoming synod, and we elected our delegates. And we talked quite profoundly about the way in which we've read the lineamenta, some of the assumptions behind it, which we're quite happy to test, and we're prepared, I think, for our participation in that synod. We were also then taking some of that reflection and applying it to our own circumstances. The second heading that we used was the year of faith called for by the Holy Father, and we're going to really look at ways of ensuring that the diocese learn from each other's initiatives for the year of faith. And then the third heading that we gave attention to was the notion of the court of the Gentiles, and we've got some plans to be formulated in detail as to how we would like to engage, particularly at a philosophical level, according to that model of the Court of the Gentiles.
Can you give us any details on that? Can we expect a meeting of the Courtyard of the Gentiles in the UK sometime in the fairly near future?
That's what we're planning, and we had a couple of proposals, perhaps one in Cambridge, perhaps one in the centre of London. An example, a small example of starting in that direction was I gave a lecture recently to the Royal College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians, which is hardly a bishop's area of competence. But what we engaged in was a dialogue around the issues of maternal health and childbirth. And I think that was a good example of where two voices that don't often engage in conversation did so in quite a fruitful way.
This question of engaging with public life, with secular society, if you like, was very much a theme at the heart of Pope Benedict's visit to Britain a year ago, wasn't it? Do you think that the Church on the whole is still feeling the impact of that visit?
Yes, we are. And there were a number of examples of that. For example, we just received one organisation, the Knights of St. Columba, giving its whole organisation a boost on the basis of the papal visit. We talked a lot about the impact on young people of the papal visit combined with those that went to Madrid for World Youth Day. And I think we spent quite a bit of time actually thinking about the fostering of vocation. And in this country, I think we are entering a new stage with a much higher profile in public discussion about the, as you would, the depth of human living and how it's right to think of life as a gift and having a vocation. And in some parts of the country, our numbers of seminarians starting in the seminary is really climbing quite well indeed.
To set against that, if you like, the Catholic Church has been in the media spotlight again recently, hasn't it, over new revelations of abuse that have been uncovered at Ealing Abbey. I believe the question of child protection was also on the agenda at this Leeds meeting, wasn't it?
Yes, in fact, probably that was the most important opening part of our discussions. And what we had, we received a report from our National Catholic Safeguarding Commission. And over the last 2 years, they have been working at two particular areas. One is our links with the religious orders, and the other is our response to victims of abuse. Now, everybody knows that those two things have appeared in very sharp relief in the question of the school and the monastery at Ealing. So our work has been given a real impetus, and we gladly acknowledge, or I should say sadly acknowledge, that we have not been up to speed in those two areas of our safeguarding work. But that's what we're resolved, particularly in our response to survivors. There was a very interesting 20 minutes when most of the bishops present talked about their personal involvement with survivors of abuse. And I think every bishop does this. One bishop told us that he has met with one or two survivors of abuse in his diocese twice a year for 9 years. He has been absolutely steadfast in that work. But we know how complicated it is, and we know we need this outside advice as to how to structure that response and get it consistency and a fairness across the board. So we're glad, and we want to give every encouragement to our national commission to work with groups of survivors and their organizations so that they together can fashion what we're calling a pathway of care for survivors of abuse. And this is a very urgent problem, and it causes the lack of a consistent response, adds to people's sorrow and distress and dismay, and we're very sorry about that.
Your auxiliary in Westminster, Bishop Arnold, has been appointed to investigate the whole situation there in Ealing Abbey, and he's urged the Vatican to make findings public to reassure people that this is being dealt with effectively and openly. Do you have any assurances that this will in fact happen?
I think it's important for people to understand the complexity of the Ealing situation. There is a school, and there has been a public inquiry into that conducted by Lord Carlisle, and his report was published last week. There's a parish, and as far as I know, safeguarding in the parish is robust and effective. And then thirdly, there is the monastery, and the apostolic visitation has been looking at the monastery. Yes, we would like the findings of that appropriately to be made public, and I understand that the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith have said they will look sympathetically at that request.
Finally, on another note, looking ahead to the Queen Elizabeth's Diamond Jubilee next summer, it sounds to me like there are going to be some very colourful celebrations going on. And I'm wondering if you've been discussing any particular plans to mark this in a special way within the Catholic Church.
Yes, we have. We've come to a shared agreement that we will ask every parish as it celebrates Trinity Sunday to mark every celebration of Mass with particular focus on the gift of the long reign of Queen Elizabeth and how that is indeed a grace for this country. So we will ask for a special reading to be included in the Mass, and we've approved a translation of the traditional prayer for the monarch, adapting it slightly so that that will be a common prayer said by all Catholics on that day for Her Majesty the Queen on her Diamond Jubilee.
My thanks there to Archbishop Vincent Nichols of Westminster, President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.